Thanks for coming back for another episode of Count Me In. This is your host, Mitch Rochong, and I'm here to bring you episode 89 of our series. We all know small to medium-sized enterprises are a huge part of our management accounting profession. And COVID-19 has greatly affected the way these businesses are run, along with the economy as a whole. In this episode, my co-host Adam talks with Mai Lu, Chief Operating Officer at Commonwealth Capital LLC. She has also funded businesses and is very familiar with the small to medium-sized business landscape. While talking with Adam, Mai discusses various cash flow activities, venture capital funding, and other ways these businesses can obtain funding to renew themselves while still staying true to their original business purpose. Keep listening as we head over to their conversation now.
Small, medium-sized enterprises have been affected greatly by COVID-19. How can businesses find a way to renew themselves and become new all over again?
COVID-19 has a far-reaching economic impact in so many areas. Almost every industry in every state has experienced the impact of COVID-19. Second quarter GDP dropped 9.5%. To put it in perspective, since record keeping began in 1947, quarterly job has never been more than 3%. Consumer spending, making up two-thirds of the U.S. economy, declines over 12% between April and June 2020. National debt and monetary policy. Four coronavirus stimulus packages are added to the national debt, with the Fed loaning money and buying financial assets, $1.41 billion daily, the money supply, M2, has risen sharply. Despite the injection of money into the system, inflation stays close to zero, which could be a signal of a looming deflation in the near future. Disrupted supply chains and shortage of products, especially PPE products. Employment has been heavily affected. Job losses were worse than in the Great Depression. 50 million people are out of a job as many businesses closed permanently and restrictions continue in several parts of the country. How businesses reinvent themselves in the wake of COVID-19 requires serious reevaluation of their business models, product and service offerings, and financing methods to adapt and thrive in the new normal. Some of the old way of doing business are no longer effective, and some products and services are no longer relevant. So understanding the renewed needs for both customers and service providers should play the central role in researching for the new business models, strategies, and products and services. While the pandemic reveals business weaknesses, it also presents opportunities for resetting strategy and business resilience. With working from home, businesses adapt and embrace flexibility. So work-life balance becomes work-life integration. Automation through self-service portals, virtual help desk, and the use of productivity tools increase efficiency and adaptation. So these sudden changes in our lifestyles transform how we consume products and services and how business operates. One thing that I can think of is cash flow and liquidity. This is one of the most important areas of business continuity. I can think of a few basic principles in managing cash that include: one, reduce cost as much as possible and seek alternative financing, including the use of government support policies and working with landlord, vendors, and suppliers for favorable payment terms. Two, focus on generating cash over turning a profit. Three, be transparent and fair to employees and share resources in case you end up having to cut staff.
I think you give some great advice as people are looking to start new. And one thing I didn't hear you mention was something like venture capital. What are some of the considerations that a SME should look at when seeking venture capital funding if they're trying to use that as starting new?
The traditional venture capital or VC business model is built based on hitting a few home runs to make up for many losing bets due to the high risk nature of startup and early stage companies. VCs are extremely selective. Only 0.1% of new ventures receive venture capital in any stage. That leaves 99.99% of startups not receiving VC funding. Of those that seek VC funding, only 1.5% receives it. Even at this level of selectiveness, the majority of VC investments have unattractive returns. VCs prefer to fund high potential disruptive ventures in emerging industries that can offer high returns in a short period of time with attractive exit options through acquisition or IPO. So those firms are known as unicorns. Businesses that can benefit from venture capital are disruptive, capital-intensive, high-growth ventures in emerging industries whose competitors are also getting venture capital funding. So when you're working with VCs, you need to research to find the right VC fund. Some VC funds have restrictions that affect the investment choices. Some VC funds are geographical based or industry based or impact investing, etc. With that in mind, when seeking venture capital, you should first find venture capital firms that invest in companies like yours. Two, ensure the VC firms invest in the stage of funding that you are seeking. Three, check out the VC firm's past deals. And four, consider location of the VC firm. I can take up a few other considerations when seeking venture capital. One, VC may seek control at the startup by taking a large portion of the equity. Selling out common equity in the early stages of a company's existence generally result in selling out the company's most precious element, which is the common equity ownership. This is a critical mistake made by a lot of entrepreneurs. Two, VCs also set the tone of the deal to make sure they get multiples of the investment before anyone else. So entrepreneurs usually come last. Thirdly, VC might replace startup founders with hired manager that could lead to the loss of the entrepreneur's original vision and passion. Lastly, with your VC investors sitting on the board and closely overseeing the company's strategy and operations, your dream might become just another job.
So in a lot of ways, venture capital is a really good investment. And if you're that unicorn that gets that funding, it could be really important for you. But then these considerations that you just mentioned, it may not always be the best option. Are there any alternatives?
Correct. Yes. Fortunately, entrepreneurs can seek capital for their startup and early stage company without relying solely on the mercy of institutional money. So for the entrepreneurs who understand the private capital markets, they can raise a substantial amount of capital through something called exempt securities offering without having to give up too much of their equity at the early stage for too little money. Keeping the vast majority of equity ownership and voting control, the entrepreneur can stay the course of their original vision and passion. The Jobs Act of 2012 brought the single most significant change to the securities law since 1933. The Jobs Act lowers the barriers in the several areas of the securities law, permitting small business to raise capital directly from the general public. So basically, they are legally bypassing VCs. With less restrictive registration requirements, and expansion of the exemption from securities registration, normally cost prohibitive for most startups. That makes a security offering to raise capital very attractive. So the most significant improvement on the regulation was the lifting of the ban on general solicitation of privately placed security. that allows startups to advertise their securities offering to a larger pool of potential investors. Under the JOBS Act, exempt securities offerings would include Regulation D, Rule 506B for private placements, Rule number 506C, private placements that allow general solicitation specifically to accredited investors and limited offerings. Rule number 504, Regulation A, A+. And lastly, regulation crowdfunding. In 2019, much more money is invested in exempt offerings than registered offerings, during which registered offerings accounted for $1.2 trillion, which is 30.8% of new capital, compared to approximately $2.7 trillion, or 69.2%, that was raised through exempt offerings.
So can we talk a little bit about what the current environment looks like for raising capital during COVID-19? Everybody's at their homes and there's so many things going on and there's so many other elements involved, but you still need to run your business.
Yeah, sure. Yes, absolutely. Experts predict an economic recession that could last from several months to 2 years. VCs focus on their existing portfolio companies instead of adding new investments to their portfolio. However, deals are still getting done, but investors are cautious in making new deals, and they are staying in the wait-and-see mode. The good news for founders is that investors are sitting on a record number of capital, $189 billion of dry powder, which is 50% more capital than it was available during the last economic downturn in 2008. Despite the pandemic, though, what VCs and investors in private markets look for hasn't changed. They want great intellectual property, a big market, strong value upside, and a product that has commercial promise, and a leader or leadership team that is coachable or has the self-awareness of humility to step aside for a more experienced leader. On the investor side, investors also look for leaders that have experience in building companies, can uplift and empower a team, and have a deep network of key opinion leaders, advocates.
So it's really high risk to invest in a startup, you know, especially in this market, like you just mentioned. You know, how can SMEs help to keep their initial interests at heart, but also that of the capital investor? How do you balance both?
Through proper corporate engineering and deal structuring of an exempt securities offering, one can increase the success rate of raising capital while providing the investors with a good level of protection. So earlier I mentioned corporate engineering. Corporate engineering is the process of developing, implementing, and maintaining all of the corporate governance policies, procedures, and protocols necessary to prepare and qualify a company and its securities for a publicly traded listing on the U.S. Securities Exchange. Secondly, attractive deal structure provides good returns and liquidity for investors. Liquidity in the private market has always been a problem, hence a deal structure that has a built-in exit is very desirable. Also, the use of hybrid convertible securities inherently enables one to raise the maximum amount of capital at the lowest possible cost of capital. Convertible preferred equity can be temporary equity that have little or no dilutive repercussion for investors if engineered correctly. With respect to the return of principal and profit to investors, the philosophy behind creating a marketable deal structure is primarily based on the priority afforded to investor financial interests that provide for the maximum amount of security of investment principal combined with the maximum amount of return on investment. By doing so with hybrid securities, you also accomplish the goal of raising substantial amounts of capital without giving up too much of your company for too little and too early.
This has been Count Me In, IMA's podcast, providing you with the latest perspectives of thought leaders from the accounting and finance profession. If you like what you heard and you'd like to be counted in for more relevant accounting and finance education, visit IMA's website at www.imanet.org.